Hi, my name is Lindsay Reynolds, and today I will be interviewing my grandparents, Dean and Jewel Frankenberry. The date is November 16th, 2020. So, what were you guys like as kids?
I was very fortunate in my upbringing.
Can you go ahead? Well, my family, we were German, and probably a pretty strict upbringing. And my dad, I know that he quit school at the eighth grade because his father had passed away. And so he had worked basically his whole life. And so when we moved to Wichita in 1950 and he opened the pipe yard, I was expected to work. I was about fifth grader, and I was expected to work every day and after school. And like I say, my folks were pretty strict. They were good people. They felt like you shouldn't buy anything unless you could pay cash for it. And so I've kind of followed that principle for most of my life. And, I had a twin sister. She tended to be a little more wilder than I was. And maybe I saw how she got in trouble. And I didn't want to be in that particular category. And so I have earned the name of Golden Boy. And that's because I tried to do things right. And I used to tell my dad, why don't you give me a whipping instead of just talking to me? I'd rather have that.
And I had a younger brother. And my younger brother was one who he was easily influenced by peers, and his teachers, I had several of them come to me and say, tell your mother that Ron needs to be corrected for such and such and such. And I got to the point where if I saw a teacher coming that he had, I kind of was ready to hide out. And I was born here in Wichita, Kansas at St. Francis Hospital. And then we moved to Yates Center, Kansas when I was in third grade. And I must have been in the first grade. And they had already started school, so I was a little bit behind. But fortunately, even though the kids told me our teacher was mean, she was super good to me and made sure that between her and my mother, they kind of caught me up. And the first day of school, the teacher sat me behind this little boy and all the class started laughing. And I thought, what? Why are they laughing? And then I found out that this little boy, he had accidents all the time. And they told me then, he's gonna wet on your feet. But he and I kind of got to working together so that when he had to go to the bathroom, he'd turn around and tell me, Joel, I gotta go to the bathroom. And we got him to the bathroom so he didn't have to have an accident.
I was born in Neodesha, Kansas in January 21st, 1941. My folks at that time lived in Altoona, Kansas, and we lived by the railroad tracks. And when I was a baby, I was laying in my bed and a rat came up and bit me on the toe. And I guess I screamed or something. But that was before the war, but World War II, and jobs were very hard to find. And I know that my dad made $1 a day at that time hauling flour and delivering that to different stores and things like that. We moved from there to Rockford, Illinois, where he went to work for Gunites, which is still in effect. And at that time, he was drafted into the Army. And so he went into the Army at that time, and we moved back to Chanute, Kansas. And we were there, we stayed there until he came back, I think in 1947 or 48, something like that, after the war was over. And he fought in the Battle of the Bulge in Germany, and just recently saw a documentary on that. And I always thought the Bulge was a mountain or something like that, but it was just an area where the Germans had retaken a lot of land and they had to retake that. And then we moved to Wichita, like I said, in 1950, and I was a fourth grader. Went to what was then called District 51 grade school, which is now in Park City. And that is almost on the same ground, it is on the same ground that your mother's office is. Wow. Her office was the Ball Diamond. And so that was a two-room school, and there was four grades in each room. And there was about six or seven kids in each grade. And it was kind of a really cool experience because everybody knew everybody and things like that.
And you still do.
I still do, yeah.
Yeah. And I lived in Yates Center, Kansas, through the, third grade. And we'd gotten out of school ahead of the Wichita schools, and that's when we moved back to Wichita. My dad was at that time, a railroad conductor brakeman. And I had gotten to the point where I really enjoyed Yates Center. It was a small little town about the size of Chanute. And we moved back, and they had not finished school here in Wichita. And I really didn't think I should have to go back to school, but I did. My folks said, yes, you're going back to school. And at that point, my mother was working outside the home, which there were a lot of mothers at that time that didn't, but mother did. And she went to work for the same Wichita Federal Savings and Loan that my husband went to. When, how many years later are you supposed to
go?
Well,
I went in
1980.
And so she probably started in the 50s sometime.
Yeah. And, but I went back to school, and of course I was already finished with school. I was ahead of the class. So I had to find that it was somewhat boring to have to go back beat all the things that I'd already learned. And yet it was a good experience. Let's see, at that point my brother was a first grader, and I got to know his first grade teacher quite well. He had gone to school also in Yates Center, and like we had desks over there that had little inkwells on them, and our neighbor girl had little pigtails. So between My brother and this other friend, they dunked her pigtails in inkwells while Mother was at a PTA meeting.
In grade school, we when it was nice, we walked to school every day.
Yep.
There was several kids on Broadway there. And we lived atop of the pipe and supply place, which is now the ground where F&M engineering is. They make auto, they make parts for Boeing airplanes. But like I say, we went to that grade school, and I think it was my seventh or eighth grade that Park City became a town. And a lot of people moved into Park City, and there were so many kids in our school that we actually went only half days because there wasn't enough room for everyone. And then, in that same year, they started a new high school, or new grade school, which is still there, Chisholm Trail School. And so in our eighth grade, we moved up there. Went to Valley Center High School. Our graduating class was 100 people. And it was a good experience. I probably was not the best student. I just probably didn't, it was probably a little bit too easy for me. And I should have applied myself a little bit more, but things worked out. Graduated from there in 1959.
Okay, I'll catch up with you.
Okay.
And I went to Riverview School for my grade school up to the eighth grade. And then we were to either go to Valley Center or into Wichita. And my dad had gone in to North High. So he wanted me to head to North High. My mother had gone to Valley Center, and I thought she'd stick up for me and say, yeah, Jill ought to go to Valley Center. No, she told me, you need to go to North High. But all my friends at that point were going to Valley Center. And she said, you know, the nice thing about going to North is that you will have those friends, and you can go up to some of their games and their activities, but you'll have new friends at North High. So I went to North High, which at that time Valley was overloaded with students, and my folks knew that I had in mind that I wanted to be a dental hygienist. And so my father said, you will go to North because you can get all the science you need, all the math you need. And you couldn't get that up at Valley. So I went to North, which I look back and I think, yes, my dad was right, even though I was mad at him. And did meet a lot of new friends. And it made it so when I went to college then, I'd had an experience already of going to a new school with new people. I went to Friends University for a year, and then I was accepted into the dental hygiene program at Kansas City. My daughter went to school later, and now my granddaughter's there, Lindsay's oldest sister, and I fortunately had a 4-H leader. He was a dentist, and his wife was a ear, nose, and throat doctor, and they kind of helped me, you know, make it through and realize, yeah, that's what I want to do.
Okay. After I graduated from high school, I went to Wichita State. I was there 3 years and didn't feel like I was getting anywhere. And so I quit my senior year, and I had met Grandma, and she had gone up to Kansas City, and so I felt like if I was going to retain her as a girlfriend or a future wife, I was going to have to move to Kansas City. So I did that. That was not what my parents wanted me to do or some of my other relatives. But I went to work for Firestone Tire and Rubber as a credit manager and stayed there until Grandma graduated from dental hygiene school and we moved back to Wichita at that point. So then pick up where you went to work. Okay.
So I worked for, I went to work for
Wichita Clinic.
Yeah, the Wichita Clinic was my first dental hygiene job. And I was there, I wonder how many years was I there?
Three, four, five.
Yeah. And Grandpa and I had bought a house. And
Northeast Parkway.
Yeah.
That area is rather dark right now.
Our granddaughters would call it
sketchy.
And then after we lived, when we lived there, we'd come back on off of a vacation and Grandpa got a call from one of his fellow workers at Southwest Federal. And he said, I have a house that you can buy. And so we bought this house and it was a nice home. Well, our other one wasn't so bad.
No, but this one was nicer.
Yeah. And bigger.
Right.
And so we lived there till we moved to Des Moines, Iowa.
When I came back from Kansas City, I kind of wanted to get in the savings and loan or the banking. And so Lois, which is Jules' mom, made some calls and I had an appointment to go out to Park Lane Savings. And I went out there and I was out there for 3 or 4 or 5 months. And then I had a call from a Wichita co-op to come and be an assistant manager. And that was a little more money and maybe a little more responsibility. And so I went out there and was there maybe 6 months to a year, and then got a call from Southwest Federal to come to work there. My dad thought that was a terrible mistake, but in reality, it was a good move.
Yeah.
And so I worked there from 1964, and in 1968, the Vietnam War was on, and I was being drafted to go into the Army, and so I had a friend, Ron Black, that was in the Kansas Air National Guard, and he got me an appointment out there, and I was able to enlist out there, and that way I did not have to go to Vietnam, and stayed in town for a while, and then in 1968, our unit was called up because of a battleship had been confiscated by the North Koreans. It's called a Pueblo.
Yeah.
And so they activated our unit and we went to Kunsan, South Korea for 13 months.
I was working at the Wichita Clinic at that point, and that came over the radio. They were going to activate the Air National Guard. in Kansas. And so I called this friend and I said, are you realizing that they're activating the guards? And he said, no, they're not. Well, he was wrong. And we had a new baby at that time, didn't we, Todd?
Todd was born in April and of 68, and we were activated in January of 68. And so our income, Grandma was pregnant, and she had to quit work. And our income at that time decreased 75% in 1 month. And our group was sent to Korea in June. And I think Todd was 3 months old at that time. Jewel had gone back to work. And we had Donette. You tell about Donette.
Grandpa's cousin. Donette Frankenberry, she actually took care of Todd for the summer after you left, and took care of him until school started again. And so she had to leave, and we ended up with this little lady. She was kind of a short little lady, and just about as
round as she was tall.
Yeah. But she babied Todd much. She sat and rocked him most of the time. And she'd always bring one of these little packets of oatmeal cereal to him to eat every day for his breakfast. And she stayed until after Dean came back from Korea.
Right.
And he of course at that point was beginning to walk, because you were gone for
13 months. So he would have been about 16, 17 months old.
Yeah.
When I got back.
And you actually had come back
at Christmas time,
which was a surprise, because we thought he was over there until
June. Yeah.
And he always had this one friend over there that would say, what did he tell you about getting out
short? We're going home early. And we didn't.
That was a worn time. But they had formed a real group of Wichita guys that had gone over there. And Grandpa got named Mother Frankenberry. You were the oldest.
When we got over there, the barracks were kind of full. And I was at a certain rank which I could be in a barracks. And two or three of our friends was going to have to live in tents. So we allowed them to move into our room. And so there was four of us in this probably 10 by 10 room. And I don't think there was ever a dispute or anything like that. We got along great. And we was that way for at least 6 months. And then they built some more barracks and they made them move into another area. But
and we still know them.
Yeah, still know them today.
And the women's group would get together about once a month and tell what they'd heard from their husband. And it was a neat contact with our men and and women.
While I was over there, of course, we had a houseboy that did all our chores. He washed and ironed our clothes, shined our shoes, cleaned our rooms. So it really wasn't, that part really wasn't too bad. Grandma and I was talking the other night. They had, on the base, they had tailors. Korean tailors. And I had, I think, four or five suits made while I was over there. And the cost at that time was $35.
Wow.
And
he had some
Pendleton shirts
made, and he had them lined, and he brought them back, and what was her name?
Gladys.
Gladys, yeah, our little lady that took care of Todd. She washed them, and it shrunk them up.
Okay. So then, after I got back from Korea, I went back to work for Southwest Federal, and our computer was with First National Bank, and it was an online computer, and not anything like you have today, but so I got a call from this guy and said, I'm going to Des Moines, Iowa to work for the Federal Home Loan Bank, and I would like for you to come up and go to work for me. You're going to be calling on savings and loans in 5 or 6 states, and we're going to convert their present accounting system to an online system. And so we went up there in January of 1970. I went up there in January 1970 and moved Grandma up and the kids up there in April. And at that time, Wendy was born, or my Grandma was pregnant.
Yeah.
With daughter Wendy. And so when we moved to Des Moines, again, we bought a house and stuff, and Wendy was born on August the 25th of 1970 in Des Moines, Iowa.
And up there, winter is winter. Once it kind of gets cold and snows, you don't have any ground showing until...
Maybe May.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's different.
So if we got snowed in at the house, oftentimes our neighbors would come help dig us out, or we sat there in the snow. Of course, the kids were little, and we really didn't have to go that much.
No, and we had milk. Milk was delivered to the door.
Yeah.
And I was gone most during the week, most of the time.
Left on Monday morning.
And left on Monday morning and come back Friday evening. Mm-hmm. And so there, I was there on the weekends.
But I had 2 fun children.
So. Yeah. And we went to a Presbyterian church up there. Yeah. And Grandma was teaching Sunday school. So her and Todd would go early. And so I would get Wendy ready, and we would come later. And one day I was changing her diaper, and we used regular diapers at that time, and I stuck her with a pin, and I felt so, so bad, because I know it hurt.
Yeah,
you did.
If you didn't hear that, she said she did.
And actually, it was a blessing when Wendy came along, because Todd was a stinker about going to the nursery.
Right.
But once Wendy came and had to go to the nursery too, he was like the big man. He'd take care of his sister in the nursery. Up to that point, we'd no more get in church, and they'd come tap her on our shoulder and say, could you come get your boy? And we would, but Wendy was the salvation of him growing up.
Forever.
Forever.
So I think I worked for the Federal Home Loan Bank, I think, for a couple years. And then I got a call from the chairman at Southwest Federal, mm-hmm. and they had fired the president and done a bunch of things. And I came back as vice president and controller, back to the same place where I had left before. And I worked there till 1976, and things were not going well, and actually I got fired. It was political. And so when that happened, I decided I wanted to build houses.
Oh, yeah.
And so we had a guy at church, that had the lumber yard.
Oh, Alexander.
Alexander, and he had some ground that they had just platted, and they had built, I think, one house over there. And I went to him and told him what I wanted to do, and so he gave me two sides of that addition that I could build on. Mm-hmm. And so we built about 10 or 12 houses on that deal. And I did that till 1980. And then I got a call from Wichita Federal wanting them to for me to come there.
Yeah.
As vice president. And so that's what I did in 1980, in September of 80.
And I must have gone to the Wichita Clinic. I'd gone there as my first job.
Right.
And then, let's see.
Dr. Hertzler.
Yeah, I had a friend that worked at Dr. Hertzler's office, and she called me and said, "Jewel, I've got the best job in Wichita. Would you take my job? Because I'm going to have to." She was going to get married and move away. And so I went to Dr. Hertzler's office and worked there, which it was a promotion, and I enjoyed it.
Grandma, actually, at that job, she worked on a commission.
Oh.
And she'd always been paid kind of a salary,
mm-hmm.
and we kind of questioned,
ooh,
you know, what this is going to do to us. And but it worked out great, and it was a great family doctor to work with.
Yep.
And all the people were great. Then when I was in the building, Grandma went to work for another firm. Dr. Bill.
Oh, yeah. And they were in the First National Bank building.
Right.
And
which is now his interest.
Yeah. I enjoyed my time with that office. And
father and son.
Yeah, it was a father and son situation. And later, the son went to work with our son,
Todd,
as a dentist, too. But let's see. Okay. That was a good experience. And they had a lot of, they were more into the politics of dentistry, probably, in Wichita. But then my dad, he kind of...
His health kind of went downhill. And there was a dentist in Park City, which...
Wendy.
Which now daughter Wendy owns that practice. And so by going there and being close to our house, we had built another house and bought a what was called a Camp Bidawee, which was about 30 or 40 acres. And was actually the house that we moved into was the old lodge. And we remodeled that with some of my dad's help and Jules' dad, and made that a very nice home. And that's where Todd and Wendy basically grew up. And So Jewel was closer, and then we built Jewel's folks a house up in to the north end of that, and so she was a lot closer to being available to him than she had been downtown. And again, I had went to work for Wichita Federal, and Jewel's mother, Lois, worked at Wichita Federal also. I actually became her boss. I don't think she ever considered that I was her boss, but that was actually the case. And I was the senior vice president down there.
And at that point, growing up, our Wendy and her brother were in 4-H, and they were very active members of the Valley Center 4-H Club. And
which you're a member of now.
Yeah, yes. Lindsay is.
So it all comes around.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And even some of the same members that Mom had are now parents.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Of Valley Victors.
Yeah, so true.
So then I worked for Wichita Federal till 1983, I think. And it was going. We were going through some change in management, and the president and myself and Gordon Jones, they decided they didn't need us anymore. We were the older people, and so at that point I bought the Kansas Palette, and from Jules' cousin, and. Then I started the Wood Recycle Company in Wichita, and we were probably the biggest recycler in the Midwest for a number of years. And we ground...
Kind of the starting of wood recycling.
Yeah, right. We ground wood and stuff for a lot of people in different states. The city of Wichita had told me that they were going to outlaw grass and things like this from going to the dump. And so we went out and bought a lot of equipment, over $1 million worth of equipment. And then they decided, no, they couldn't do that. So we had to look for other avenues of income. But I sold that, and the people that I sold it to went bankrupt on me. Luckily, we had been good savers, and that did not take us down. And so then we built a new house on the river on Legion, beautiful house. The ground belonged to a lady at church, and she was moving out of town, and so she called me one day and wanted to know if I was interested. And I said I'd pick you up in 10 minutes. And so we ended up buying that piece of ground at that time. In the meantime, we had bought a lot up at Valley Center, and we were going to build a house up there. But we had never lived close to anybody. And it was, you know, there was dogs barking, there was cars parked in places which I didn't want. And so after we bought the place that, well, we had 5 acres on Legion, we sold that to some people.
Of course, also Grandpa got caught mowing up there, and he looked like a farmer boy. He had on he did have on sandals.
Right.
But he had on
black socks.
Socks, and his mom, I mean, his daughter, mm-hmm. about died and said, I don't think you guys would fit into the city of Valley Center. And he had his mower stuck, so.
Yeah. And I think I retired when I was 64. And Grandma thought I would never retire. And I've not regretted retiring. The first two or three years, I fished about 3 or 4 days a week while Grandma was working, and that was nice. She was bringing in an income, and I could just kind of play. And I was cleaning the house.
Yeah,
and,
you were doing a lot.
And getting their uniforms ready and all this kind of stuff. And then she retired. When did you retire?
With my daughter.
Right. She had worked for Wendy.
I was 67 years old. I was, 67. And then after that, I found out I was falling apart. Every time I went to the doctor, it was something else. And so that kind of was a...
So you had several minor operations. And she had her two knees redone.
So I was supposed to be a bionic woman again.
Still are, Grandma.
Oh, you're kind. And these last... Fortunately, I retired when I did. I didn't think I was ready, but I found out I was ready. And I've had a stroke since then.
Overcome it and even better than before. And more gratitude for every day that you get to see.
Right.
And as grandkids, we really enjoy our time. Even if we can be like a little crazy sometimes. But yeah.
And have enjoyed those times with our grandkids.
And then now you guys have a new house that you got to build, and there's new memories that we're getting to make, like doing this right now.
Like, without our family, we'd still be living in this new house without furniture.
Or any decorations.
Or any decorations.
It looks pretty dang good, I'll tell you.
Thank heavens.
Yeah.
You have anything to add, do you?
Well, we've been married 57 years.
Woo-woo!
The success of that probably is you don't win any argument, every argument, and you may not win any arguments, but sometimes you need to say sorry whether you think that you're at fault or not. And it's a good idea never to go to sleep mad at each other, but that doesn't always happen. And if you remember, you will probably not sleep very good that week, that night.
Well, is there any final thoughts you want to add? I appreciate both of you being able to do this.
Is that Mr. Clark?
We've always been involved in church. And always have given to the church. And so we think that's been a big part of our lives.
Yeah.
Glory to God.
Thank you.
That's probably enough.
Yes. Okay.
That's good.
Thank you.
How are you, Clint?
How are you?
Okay.
Good.